Welcome back. TNHoller.com is where you can find us at the TN Holler on Twitter and Facebook, TikTok and Instagram, Threads. We're everywhere. You can also find us hollering all across the state. Thanks to your support, monthly donations keep us going. And as always, we want to shout out Elisa Parker, her continued support of what we do. You're buying or selling a home in Middle Tennessee, do it through her if you need a lawyer. Abby Rubenfeld, and if you need some jewelry, Mary, AJ Martin is where you should go. They're very supportive of us. Today we're talking to Mary Batiwala, formerly the Assistant Education Commissioner here in Tennessee. We talk about education a lot. We're obviously big supporters of public education, and Mary's here to share her perspective on some of those things. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you? Sorry about your allergies.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm allergic to my cockapoos, and it's not great, but they're worth it. They're so cute. I want to talk to you about letter grades that are potentially going to be assigned to Tennessee schools, quote unquote, accountability effort from the Lee administration. If you could just tell us what your role was and when that was.
Yeah, so I joined the Tennessee Department of Education in 2013. I started off working on the research and policy team, was promoted into a role where I was the executive director of accountability. So I directly led the efforts to create systems to hold schools and districts accountable. And then from there, I took the role of assistant commissioner. So in total, I was at the department for a little over 6.5 years. Even when I was on the research and policy team, one of my main responsibilities was working on accountability systems, an area where I've spent quite a lot of time working, thinking, and collaborating.
So what's going on with accountability right now, the push to assign letter grades? That's something that's kind of right in your wheelhouse. You did have some overlap into the Lee administration. Is that right? At what point were you transitioned out of there?
Correct. So I spent about 8 months working under the Lee administration. I resigned. My last month was in August 2019. Most of the time, Penny Schwinn was also there as the commissioner.
May I ask the reason that you resigned?
This could be a full conversation in and of itself, but I think
let's have it.
I think I would say most concisely, I could not be an effective leader under the administration of Penny Schwinn. There were some key policy differences. She was actually trying to do some accountability changes towards my last few months in the role. But overall, her administration was chaotic and disorganized and not conducive to being able to effectively manage a team within the Department of Education organization.
So let me just say that's not the first time I have heard that. She represents Governor Lee. I mean, she was his choice. Kind of want to drill down on that for 1 second and just ask, can you elaborate a little bit about what the policy differences were that you had with Penny Schwinn?
There are a few. As it pertains to accountability, it was mostly around her push, as is the push now, to make significant changes to our system that emphasized absolute achievement over improvement, which is a key philosophical difference between Tennessee and almost every state in this country when it comes to accountability. There were also, at that time, many challenges we were trying to resolve with assessment. We had worked very hard to ensure a smooth administration in 2019. This is something that Penny was not quite as exciting about, to have a smooth administration. I think she was looking more to have disruptions such that then the following year things could go smoothly under her full administration.
Your concerns were that the way they were going to measure accountability was not going to paint an accurate picture the way exactly schools were conducting themselves in Tennessee. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. Most accountability systems are primarily focused on absolute achievement. Schools and districts account for at best 20% of absolute test scores. Looked into the evidence when we were assembling how we were going to approach A through F accountability, which is in state law. Sal and Ed worked really hard for years to get a law passed so that we were forced into an A through F system.
I think people that are watching are going to need some of this defined a little. Excel in education, where our current Tennessee Department of Education commissioner came from. Lizette Gonzalez Reynolds is the new hire who just replaced Penny Schwinn. What is Excel in Ed?
Foundation that was originally founded by Jeb Bush after he finished his term or towards the end of his tenure as the governor of Florida, is solely focused focused on education. And they have about 8 priorities. And one of their key priorities is school accountability, specifically pushing states to pass laws that require all schools be graded with an A through F. The lobbying arm has worked to really go to states and lobby general assemblies to pass these A through F laws. And that's exactly
why do they want it to be an A through F letter grade?
They believe that the A through F letter grade is the most transparent and digestible way to communicate to parents about schools.
I'm going to offer my kind of hypothesis about the Lee administration and Penny and where this all comes from. I am open to being told I'm completely off base about this. My fear, and I think the fear of a lot of public education advocates in Tennessee, is that the Lee administration and Penny by extension have not had the best interests of our public schools at heart. And Governor Lee's main priority when he took office were these private school vouchers, charter schools, an appeal board that overrules local decisions denying charter schools, and Hillsdale. And it seems like Governor Lee has been the tip of the privatization spear in Tennessee that seeks to essentially make public schools uncomfortable in various ways and steer as many of these public education taxpayer dollars to private entities, charter organizations, private schools as possible, and essentially is a fox guarding the hen house of public education in Tennessee. With your knowledge of the way things work in our education system, how far off am I?
Well, let's go with your first statement. I think it's a reasonable statement to make that the governor and the Department of Education right now are not focused on driving policies in education that are based on what the people of Tennessee have asked for. I think if you've watched any of the town hall meetings that they've been conducting recently, they asked folks for their input on changes to accountability. If you've watched those, you'll see that the things that people are asking for are not aligned with what the department is ultimately pushing behind closed doors. Even when I was at the department, most of the time under the Haslam administration, it would be naive for anyone to believe that special interests have not continuously been trying to push their agenda in Tennessee, whatever that agenda is. And we can see in Tennessee, part of that at least is the voucher interest. But under Lee's administration, he has been much more successful. I'll tell you, the first meeting, even before Penny Schwinn got here, that I had with the administration right after Lee took office, I was called in by the governor's chief of staff at the time. And I was told that we would have vouchers. It was not a question of if, it was when. I was asked to provide feedback on whether those students that accepted vouchers should have to be taking a test or have some mechanism of accountability to receive the dollars. At the time, it was like kind of a outlandish conversation. I couldn't believe there'd be a world where any state government would consider giving state taxpayer dollars to a student to go to a school and wouldn't expect some sort of accountability. That's what they were thinking. And ultimately, if we look to Florida to see what has happened with vouchers, this year, vouchers are available to anyone. They're not means tested. That means there's no income requirement. And in Florida, when they started the voucher program back in 2010 or so, students were required to take the state test if they took a voucher. They haven't been required to take the state test for years. So what do you lose? Well, you lose a measure of accountability. You also lose the ability to measure how these students who are receiving taxpayer dollars to go to private schools are being served. I would not disagree with you that part of this has to do with voucher pushes. There could be other things as well. The main concern to me is the fact right now the department is attempting to hijack the accountability system to move it from what right now is theoretically a mechanism for school improvement to a mechanism that is used to say, look how bad schools are. Here's some other alternative options, right? If you want to do vouchers, do vouchers. You don't have to necessarily hijack this mechanism for improvement, but that's the playbook of Excel and F. And it's really unfortunate. They believe that these two things have to be intertwined.
It sounds like what you're saying is that they are not necessarily coming at this from a place of, you know, how can we make public schools as good as they can possibly be and as strong as they can possibly be? The next question in my mind is, okay, so what is their motive? And it seems like their motive is to essentially steer these vast resources dedicated to public schools in Tennessee and in the country. I mean, Betsy DeVos was a part of the voucher push in Tennessee and has openly said that her agenda was to steer public taxpayer dollars to private religious schools, advancing God's kingdom. I actually have a clip of it. This accountability effort happening right now, kind of under the cover of this special session that we just had. This seems like the next front in the push to paint public schools in Tennessee as a failure.
Correct. Any system that looks primarily at absolute achievement in schools is creating a false narrative. It's funny because they have a great talking point, because their talking point is you're lying to parents. This school only has 14% proficiency and you're going to say it's doing good and not automatically give it an F. But this is school accountability. What is the school doing? That is why improvement is so important, because the school, the district, does not control the vast majority of what goes into an absolute achievement score. What they do control is improving, growing their students. All kids are capable of learning. All kids are capable of mastering our standards. But within 1 year, if you have a student who comes in at a first grade reading level when they're in fourth grade, is it reasonable to expect that teacher to have that student proficient in fourth grade? What are you asking? You're asking for them to grow their students, for them to improve. I argue it's actually the opposite. You are lying to parents when you say that a school with high achievement scores in a rich, affluent suburb automatically gets an A and say that school's doing good. A school with rich, affluent students, high proficiency, I have no idea whether that school is doing good things for them. Are they growing them? Do they improve them? Or do they have these high scores simply because of out-of-school factors? I wouldn't expect anyone to be held accountable for something that they only control 20% of in their job, to have a raise depend on that, to have incentives depending on that. That's absurd. No one would think that was reasonable. That's what they're aiming to do. Make our system, which right now is completely improvement based, they want to make this system such that certain schools are doomed to never be successful. In using achievement, you ensure not just that many schools are labeled failing, you ensure that certain schools are failing.
When I hear that, I hear majority minority schools in Memphis, in Nashville, Shelby, Davidson counties, and Chattanooga, these schools that they are trying to paint as failing schools. In general, those are the schools with a lot of minority kids.
That's correct. Under an absolute achievement system, where absolute achievement is controlled 80% by things that are not under the school or district's purview, absolute achievement tends to be low. Those students deserve to learn. They deserve to have the best opportunities. And if the school that they come to is growing them and improving them, that's what they should be held accountable for.
So they're basically saying, okay, we're going to level the playing field and measure everybody by the same thing. But what you're saying is playing field is not level. You've got kids in poor communities, parents who don't have the ability to pay property taxes that go to these schools that have all the resources. If you measure it by growth, you're basically saying, okay, how did this student do from when they got there to now, as opposed to measuring them against Williamson County schools, where, you know, these kids have every resource in the world. That's a way to set these Memphis and Nashville schools up for failure, and they know it.
And back to your point, where do voucher programs exist?
In those counties, because when those vouchers passed, Republican reps made sure vouchers did not come to their own communities and counties. They only wanted them to be in these majority Black, democratically represented areas so that they didn't have to deal with the parents who were upset about steering taxpayer dollars to private schools. So I think you're connecting a lot of the dots for us. Really important to understand. One of the other measurements that you took issue with, third grade retention law, Governor Lee painted it as measuring reading proficiency, even though that is not what TCAP measures. Do you feel like they're being misleading in the way that they're portraying the performances on the TCAP tests across the state?
Yeah, I do feel it's misleading to use the third grade TCAP as a measurement of whether students can read, because the third grade ELA, actually the English Language Arts Assessment, it's not the reading assessment, measures state standards for English Language Arts in third grade. There are some standards that cover foundational literacy skills, but there are a lot of standards that go beyond on that. Using it as the measure to say these students cannot read and thus we're going to retain them if they don't follow some complicated, complex web policy, right? It's not an honest conversation to have. You know, this was a policy that came to Tennessee, like a lot of policies in education, but in other areas too, come to Tennessee from other states. Some special interest goes around and lobby states to implement. The difference is that the other states that implemented this policy actually use a test that is a reading test. Now, Tennessee is using different tests for summer school, for the fall measurement, but the first test that it uses to implement this policy is our TCAP assessment, not a reading assessment. PATH stole the policy, but didn't follow through with another key component of implementation that other states used.
And even TCAP doesn't say it's a reading proficiency test. And it's administered by this company, Pearson, that just got another multi-million dollar contract. Private entities are filling their pockets all along the way, every step of the way. And that seems to be the recurring theme with so many of these policies that are implemented by Governor Lee's administration and the Tennessee Department of Education. And not just Governor Lee. I mean, I think this has been going on for a while. It definitely feels like these are not policies that are being put in place with students at top of mind, feeds this narrative about our public schools underperforming, the driving force behind their ability to steer money. And let's be clear, it's about money away from our public schools into private hands. Wherever you stand ideologically, whether you're Democrat or Republican, generally speaking, our public schools are popular. Your own local public school is popular. You like your public school. You like your public school teachers. So they can't be out there railing against public schools openly. They have to act like they are defending public schools while they take resources from public schools. And that's why I keep saying it's the fox guarding the hen house. It feels like you're able to say you don't necessarily think this Tennessee Department of Education is putting students first. Is that fair?
Correct. To your point, I do not believe this is a partisan issue at all. Education policy is kind of a weird landscape in general. If you say schools are bad, what then? I do think a large part of this is, in their minds, what happens is you bolster support for vouchers. Because you say, well, we're going to provide you an alternative option. But to your point, how does the public feel about schools? How do parents feel about their schools? Well, there's a poll on this every single year. How do you rate your schools? 55 to 60% every single year say my child's school is an A or a B. When Excel and Ed came to meet with us to talk about how the choices that we had collectively made with our public to implement accountability were the wrong choices, because again, we focused on improvement. The question that I asked to them, and I will ask this question every day until I see the evidence, is in the states that implement A through F, are parents less likely to say that their schools are A's or B's? Because if you believe, which Excel and Ed does believe, A through F accountability works because you're being transparent with parents, that only happens if parents believe what you tell them about their schools. And we don't have a ton of evidence that that's the case. Excel and Ed had a tweet maybe a week or two ago, and it was a link to a Wall Street Journal article about the goodness of vouchers. There was not one mention about vouchers being good because they help improve student outcomes, because we know that there's not solid evidence that they do. This entire editorial focused on the goodness of Florida's voucher program because it had increased enrollment in Catholic schools when every other state had decreased it. I'm a born and raised Catholic, but when it comes to public policy, I do not think we should be making decisions judging schools and abandoning tools we have to help schools improve so that we can ultimately help Catholic schools increase their enrollment. And I don't think most people would agree with that either.
Right. That is ultimately what I believe Governor Lee's goal is. Jewish, I was bar mitzvahed at an Orthodox temple, to each their own, absolutely. But when you start taking public resources and steering them to private Christian schools and religious schools, now you've crossed the line. And I do think that is Governor Lee's goal. There was just a Supreme Court case. Public dollars can be used for religious charter schools, which I think is probably the next step. And I know the Hillsdale folks have that in mind. Murray County is dealing with an appeal to a school they rejected, an ACE school, American Classical Education, that's Hillsdale affiliated. They're now going to go to Governor Lee's rigged board and probably get the local school board's decision overruled. They're trying to increase vouchers so that you can take public dollars, private religious schools, charter schools that also have a Christian undertone. And I do think that is the goal here. And so what do you think about school choice? Feels like a euphemism for this privatization, religiousizing of our public education system.
You know, I've been in education for 20 years now. School choice has always been part of the policy environment as long as I've been involved in education. I will say when I started in education, school choice, there was small voucher programs, but it was largely charter schools. Charter schools, vouchers, any of these mechanisms they're not the silver bullet. There's good charter schools. There's bad charter schools. There's not a lot of good evidence on voucher programs. You know, I'm sure that there's good private schools and bad private schools. The problem to me is when policy for public schools and the tools that we have are eroded because of these other policies. I believe deeply in accountability. I believe schools and districts should be held accountable. My key concern is that we're making changes to the system motivated by other interests like privatization, rather than making decisions about helping schools improve. Because accountability systems, really what they are, is they're a way to single your values. What do we value as a state? Tying supports to the things we hold you accountable for. And it feels like those supports are going to be taken away, eroded, as other policy choices like privatization are used. We're lying to parents when we say that schools are bad just because of absolute achievement. Talk to anyone in education. Educators know in Tennessee that growth and improvement is what matters. The Excel and Ed people, they know it too. Because when I go and read their reports on how voucher programs are doing, do you know what they measure their success by? Not absolute achievement. They measure it by improvement. They know that improvement is what schools and districts are responsible for. They know that that's what matters. The state knows that's what matters. Go look at last year's press release when Penny was still here. Did they say only 40% of Tennessee students can read? This is the worst. Governor Lee might have said it to support his retention bill. But what does the press release say? It's all about, look, we improved 4 percentile points. Because that's what matters. Improvement is what we measure. We've been focused on growth and improvement in the state for decades.
Well, you make a lot of sense. Seeing Penny leave after TESA funding formula was changed to tie more money to each kid, so that when they do leave to go to charter schools, to go to other schools, they take more of the funding with them. It just seems like this has all been an effort to undermine our public schools, led by the people at the very top. Nothing you're saying here has dissuaded me of that. So I really appreciate you sharing your opinion. Everybody should follow you at M. Badiwala, Mary Badiwala, who was the assistant department education commissioner in the very beginning of Penny Schwinn's reign. Is there anything else you want to share with people before we go?
I would just let you all know that they are accepting feedback at the Tennessee Department of Education. I think the feedback generally is a little bit of a show, because I know behind the scenes they've pretty much made the decision. Being vocal, reaching out to your state senators or state representatives is really the most helpful way to go. In fact, I would encourage you to reach out directly to your representatives and not the department.
It seems like the feedback has always been a lot of bit of a show with the Lee administration. I've seen them ask for feedback on many things, from Medicaid block grant to gun safety policies to education. The Lee administration doesn't seem to change. I agree. Go to your reps, tell them how you feel, weigh in on the accountability policy town halls that are going on right now, very under the radar because everybody has been so focused on the gun safety laws, and that's probably by design. Mary, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a good one.
So that was Mary Badiwala. If you guys follow us at The Holler, we're constantly talking about Governor Lee does not have the best interests of our public schools at heart or our students, how he and Penny Schwinn have for a very long time been designing policy to hurt public schools, squeeze public schools, and steer resources from our public schools into private hands through vouchers, charters, book banning, and divisive concept laws. This is all to make public schools look bad. And now this accountability piece, she just said, basically, they are trying to design the way that we measure our schools in a way that hurts schools, especially in Memphis and Nashville, where families have fewer resources, higher levels of poverty, schools have less to work with, to make them look bad so that people are more inclined to embrace these private school vouchers to steer public school taxpayer dollars to private hands. That's what's going on. When you see it, when your eyes are open to it, it's so clear. You know, even the third grade retention law, Mary just came on here and said, TCAP does not measure reading. Even that is a way to make public schools look bad. Governor Lee stood in front of cameras a while back. Oh, look, our kids are failing TCAP. That means they can't read.
We know that when a child cannot read, it's very difficult on parents.
That is not even what the testing company, Pearson, that designs the TCAP says it measures. And that's by design. Governor Lee knows what he's doing when he says our kids can't read, because then everybody who sees him say that is out there telling their friends, our kids can't read. Our kids can't read. 60% of our kids can't read. That is not what this test measured. I took a sample of this test. It wasn't easy. You can read and still get these questions wrong. But here he is saying, our kids can't read. Our kids can't read. Because he knows that line will get picked up and it'll get injected into the way we talk about public education in Tennessee. And ultimately, the worse our public schools look, the more money he can steer into the hands of his privatization cronies.
Because at the end of the day, what we want is for every third grader to find success forward, and most importantly, for them to be able to read.
Marissa, did you have another question, Marissa?
A lot of these kids can read.
So I was there yelling, these kids can read. And this was during a period where Governor Lee had long since stopped taking my questions. So he wasn't going to listen to me, but thankfully one of the other reporters picked up on it.
What do you mean by they can't?
They fail assessments that indicate whether or not they are ready to move forward into the next.
Again, not a reading proficiency test.
Right. And their ability to read and comprehend.
That's not what TCAP measures.
Channel 5, Chris.
Why do you keep saying that says kids can't read?
Yes, sir.
Why do you keep telling that lie?
Why do you keep saying that test shows kids can't read, Governor? That's not what that measures. Are you trying to privatize our public schools?
He is undermining public schools intentionally to steer resources intended for especially our Black and brown kids in majority minority areas, Memphis and Nashville, where these voucher policies are. They don't want them in their own counties. When they passed those vouchers, Republicans didn't want them in their own counties. They want them in Nashville and Memphis, where the vouchers are, where the charter schools are, represented by Democrats, where they don't have to deal with the fallout. And we're talking about a lot of money. The heist, billions of dollars. Every single one of these efforts to undermine our public schools is another crack in the foundation of our public schools, our democracy. And a lot of it is ideologically driven, because they see our public schools as these, you know, left-wing indoctrination centers, which anybody who has a kid in public school in Tennessee knows damn well they're not. That's what they make them look like. People get disillusioned with our public schools. And, you know, the Moms for Liberty are out there saying, get our kids out of government schools and we need choice and vouchers. And now he's got his charter school appeal board to overrule local communities that don't want these charters in their schools. And around we go. And it's only going to grow. All we can do is talk about it and try to open people's eyes to what's really going on in Tennessee. And I think there are other layers to this. Mary mentioned the religious aspect to it. I absolutely believe that's what's driving Governor Lee, a rich man. So I don't think he's filling his pockets through this, but I do think he believes this is his way of advancing God's kingdom, to use Betsy DeVos's words. I'm not going to play you the clip. I've played it here a number of times. If you want to hear that clip and haven't seen it, Betsy DeVos using that phrase of why she became the Secretary of Education, I'm happy to send it to you. She said it out loud. She was here with Governor Lee pushing those vouchers. This is what they're trying to do. And Penny Schwinn changed our funding formula so that more dollars would follow kids out of our schools. And then she left at a think tank figuring out how to do it elsewhere. And the new hire, Lizette Gonzalez Reynolds, Mary just told you, comes to Tennessee from the education group Excel in Ed, the group Mary just said is trying to help them figure out how to change our accountability formula to further harm our public schools, lie to parents, and make people disillusioned with public education in Tennessee. That's what's going on. The foxes are guarding the hen house. The foxes are attacking the hen house. Tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Tennessee. To tennis.